Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Megillah. This series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We find ourselves on 19b, Daf Yudtet Amud Bet. If you look on that page about a third of the way down, you'll see a bolded word that says Matnita. That's the Mishnah. It's a short Mishnah, just a couple of lines. So two lines under it, you see another bolded word that says Gimel Mem. That stands for Gemara. So we're going to start there. This is about who is eligible to read the Megillah. Hakol kasherin likrot et haMegillah. Everyone is kosher to read the Megillah. That is, anyone who is obligated to read the Megillah may read the Megillah on behalf of others. The exceptions are as follows. Chutz, except for, mecheresh, shoteh, v'katan. These three halachic personalities generally go together. A cheresh is usually a person who is a deaf mute, who can neither hear nor speak. And the rabbinic assumption there is that we cannot determine whether they are a person who has da'at, who is compos mentis. They didn't have a way of finding out, and often people who were deaf mute did not have dot. In this case, as Tosfo points out, we are clearly dealing with someone who can speak because they are going to read the Megillah. They however cannot hear, and that of course means that they're not really a deaf mute; they're just a deaf person. And most halachot do apply to deaf people, with the possible exception of these kinds of halachot where you have to hear a blessing or hear the reading of the Megillah, which they cannot do. And since they cannot hear it, they cannot read it for others who can hear. The second person is a shote, a person who is clinically insane, because they do not have dot. They do not have ability to think. They're not rational actors. And finally, the third one is a katan. A katan is a minor, and a minor also is not considered to have dot. They do not have a mature thought process. Of course, a katan is going to develop that mature thinking as time goes on, and by the time they turn 9 or 10 years old, they're already in a process of education in which they are acquiring that wisdom. But they do not fully acquire it until after their bar mitzvah. So those three personality types, a deaf person, a crazy person, and a minor, cannot read the Megillah for other people. Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanna Kamma, the first opinion of the Mishnah, and he says that a minor can actually read the Megillah for other people. He is obligated enough to read it on behalf of other people. The Gemara is going to discuss how this Mishnah works, because it's going to consider strongly the possibility that this entire Mishnah is by Rabbi Yehuda, even though Rabbi Yehuda is only named in the second portion, and in which he is modifying the restriction against a minor. The Gemara wants to consider the possibility that the whole Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, and it will discuss whether or not that is feasible. So the Gemara is going to begin with the topic of Cheresh, the deaf person. Man Tana, who is the Tana, who is the rabbinic authority, who says Cheresh, that a deaf person, Di'avad Nami Lo, even B'di'eved cannot read the Megillah. Now in Halacha, generally speaking, there are two categories. The first one is L'chatchila, which means ab initio, the right way to do things. So should a deaf person read the Megillah for other people? No, they definitely shouldn't. That's not the right way to proceed. What if they went ahead and read the Megillah for other people? Was the reading kosher? That's bidi'avad. Secondarily, they already did the action. Does it count? So this particular Tana holds that not only l'chatchila may a cheresh not read for other people, but even b'di'avad, if they read for other people, they cannot fulfill their obligation. So who is this Tana? Amar Rav Matna. Rav Matna said, Rabbi Yossi, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. And we're going to prove that it's Rabbi Yossi's opinion because of a similar opinion he holds in another halachic area. Ditnan, as we learn in a Mishnah, Hakorei et Shema, the one who reads the Shema, velo hishmia le'ozno, but he does not read it loudly enough that he can hear his own words in his own ears. Yatza, he has still fulfilled his obligation. That's the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, the first opinion, that even if you didn't say the Shema loud enough to hear yourself, you fulfill your obligation, and we paskin that way. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi, however, brings a dissenting opinion. Lo Yatza, he says, you are not Yotze. In other words, in order to fulfill your obligation to read the Shema, you have to hear your own words. We're going to say from this that Rabbi Yossi thinks that a person has to hear the reading of the Megillah as well, even b'diavad, even if you read the Shema and you didn't hear it, it's still no good. So even though a person who cannot hear the Megillah read the Megillah, it's also not good. That's our working assumption. So the Gemara challenges this working assumption. Umimai de Rabbi Yossi hi u'diavad nami lo. How do you know that this is Rabbi Yossi and even b'diavad a cheresh cannot read the Megillah? Dilma Rabbi Yehuda hi. Perhaps it is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. U'lechatchilahu de lo. And lechatchila a cheresh cannot read the Megillah. That is, when it says, Hakol k'sherin likrot et ha-Megillah chutz me-cheresh, everyone can read the Megillah except for a cheresh, that's only l'chatchila, the right way, ab initio. However, ha-diavad, but if the cheresh did read the Megillah, shapir dami, it would be okay, it would be fine. So the Gemara answers, lo solka datach, do not think that way. De-katani, because we have a teaching, cheresh dumya deshota v'katan, that cheresh, shota, and katan all go together. They're all similar in some way, or certainly halachically parallel. So even though we might want to argue that way just for a cheresh, because the cheresh is connected to the shota v'katan, the same rules will apply. Ma shota v'katan diavad nami lo. Just like a shota, a clinically insane person, v'katan, and a minor, even b'diavad cannot read the Megillah. That's our working assumption, that when it says that a minor and a clinically insane person cannot read the Megillah, it means that even if they read it, it's no good. Af cheresh diavad nami lo. So too, a deaf person, even b'diavad, if they read it, it's still no good. But the Gemara asks, that's a working assumption, but how do you know? V'dilma ha-kedi'ita, the ha-kedi'ita. Perhaps each one has its own rule. Maybe this tying together of cheresh, shota, v'katan is not absolute. Maybe some of them are only l'chatchila can't read the Megillah like a cheresh, and some of them, like a cheresh and a katan, like a shota and a katan, even b'diavad can't read the Megillah. How do you know they all go together? So the Gemara answers, Mida katani seifa Rabbi Yehuda, because it teaches in the Mishnah that the end of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, who is machshir b'katan. So since it specifies that the last clause in the Mishnah is by Rabbi Yehuda, who says that b'diavad, a katan, can read the Megillah, michlal d'resha lav Rabbi Yehuda hi, that seems to indicate that the first part of it is not Rabbi Yehuda. So it's, you know, which makes sense. The first part of the Mishnah, which was said anonymously, would not be Rabbi Yehuda. And the last part, which specifies Rabbi Yehuda, is. And not only that, but Rabbi Yehuda clearly specifies that his opinion is that a minor b'diavad, it sounds like b'diavad, can read the Megillah. And he omits mentioning a cheresh and a shota. That would seem to indicate that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that a cheresh and a shota are even b'diavad, cannot read the Megillah. Now, this next line is omitted by Rashi, or he suggests to omit it. We'll read it anyway, briefly, but in some versions of the Gemara, it's not found at all. Because the next part says, V'dilma kula Rabbi Yehuda hi, perhaps the whole Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, as we were discussing. And the Gemara answers, Midami Reisha Lepsula. The first part of the Mishnah was coming to apostle people, saying these people cannot read the Megillah. V'seifa L'ksheira. And the end of it is coming to say that a katan, for instance, can read the Megillah. The first part says a katan can read the Megillah. The second one says a katan can read the Megillah. To have that be one person's opinion doesn't really make any sense. Okay, but and as I said, Rashi omits that whole thing, so I put brackets around it. Rashi instead goes on immediately to the next argument. V'dilma kula Rabbi Yehuda hi. Similarly, perhaps the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Utre gavne katan katanila. But really, the reason that it doesn't make sense is because we have to understand that there are two kinds of minors. Okay, v'chisure michsara. Chisure michsara means there is information missing from the Mishnah. This is how the Mishnah should be read. V'hachi katani. Here is how the Mishnah should read. Hakol ksherin likrota ta megillah. Everyone is kosher to read the Megillah and to fulfill the obligation of others by reading it for them. Chutz michere shote v'katan. Except for a deaf person, a clinically insane person, and a minor. So far, so good. That's exactly the way our Mishnah reads. But now we're going to add in a limiting factor. Bameh tvarim amurim. That's what that abbreviation is. And I am 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom, right in the middle of the line. Bameh tvarim amurim. To what are these words referring to? Bekatan shelohi gia lechinuch. This is a minor who has not yet reached the age of education. That is, they are younger than 9 years old. So if they are really a minor, a small child, then they cannot read the Megillah at all. Aval, but bekatan shehi gia lechinuch, a minor who has reached the age of education, 9 years old or 10 years old, Rashi says, afilu lechatchila. Even lechatchila, they can read the Megillah. Shereb Yehuda machshir bekatan. That's what it means. Rabbi Yehuda is machshir bekatan. So the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a cheresh and a shota cannot read the Megillah at all, and neither can a katan who is a young katan. However, if a katan is at the age of chinuch already, then even lechatchila he may read the Megillah and fulfill the obligation for others. Okay, now the Gemara. So that's our working conclusion, that the whole Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. But the Gemara goes on to ask, B'mayo kimta k'Rabbi Yehuda u'diavad. But how do you know that you should establish the Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, that even b'diavad, a cheresh, a deaf person, cannot read the Megillah? Elaha ditane, Rabbi Yehuda b'reid Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. We have another teaching that was taught by the name of Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. And here's what it says. Cheresh hamedaber ve'eno shomea. A deaf person who speaks but doesn't hear. In other words, they're not a deaf mute, the classical case of cheresh. They're a limited cheresh. They're only deaf. Toreim, they can give truma. They can give an offering, a voluntary offering, lechatchila. Even ab initio, they're allowed to do it, not b'dieved, but it's fully allowed. Even though they're going to have to say a blessing when they do it, and they cannot hear that blessing because they are deaf, this opinion says that even l'chatchila, they can make that offering. Mane, so whose opinion is this? E, Rabbi Yehuda, if it's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, di'avad in, then b'di'eved, he ought to be able to do it, l'chatchila lo, but l'chatchila he shouldn't be able to. So it doesn't seem like it goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. E Rabbi Yossi, and if it's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, di'avad nami lo, then even b'di'eved he wouldn't be able to do it. In other words, we have two opinions. One is that b'di'eved he should be able to do it, and one is that even b'di'eved it's no good. But we don't have an opinion that says that l'chatchila he should be able to do it. So the elamai. So then, how should we read our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, va'afilu l'chatchila, and even l'chatchila he should be able to do it. So that doesn't seem to be, that doesn't seem to accord with our version of Rabbi Yehuda, who says differently. Elaha detanya, but let's try one other braita. We have another braita that teaches. Lo yivarech adam birkat hamazon bilibo. A person should not say benching, birkat hamazon, in his heart. You should say birkat hamazon out loud. V'im birech, so that's lechatchila. But if b'diavad you made the blessing and you did it quietly, yatsa, then you fulfill your obligation. So l'chatchila you should say birkat hamazon out loud, but b'diavad if you said it quietly, you fulfill the obligation. So again, if you said it quietly, it could not be heard by someone else or could not be heard even by you. And as Tosfot points out, we're assuming here that birkat hamazon, which is a requirement of the Torah, is going to be similar in this regard to Shema. So just as Shema requires you to hear what you're saying, so too in birkat hamazon, you'd be required to hear what you're saying. So Mani, who is this opinion like? Lo Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbi Yossi. It's not like either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yossi. E Rabbi Yehuda, if it's like Rabbi Yehuda, afilu l'chatchila, then even l'chatchila he should be able to say birkat hamazon quietly. There's no reason to say it's only b'diavad. E Rabbi Yossi, if it's like Rabbi Yossi, afilu diavad nami lo, then even B'di'evet, it's no good. As Rabbi Yossi said, that if you say the Shema and you don't hear your own words, lo yatza, you have not fulfilled your obligation. So who is this teaching like? Once again, we have a teaching that doesn't seem to either go like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yossi, and that's a problem because those are the two opinions that we have. That finishes Daf Yudtet. We're going to do a couple of lines at the top of Daf Chaf, so we turn over to Daf Chaf just to answer the question. So the Gemara answers, La'olam Rabbi Yehuda. No, it really is actually still Rabbi Yehuda. Va'afilu l'chatchila, and even l'chatchila you can say Birkat HaMazon quietly. V'lo kasha, it's not a problem that it's not the same as some of his other opinions. Hadidei, this is his own opinion. Hadirabe, and this is his rabbi's opinion. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda's real opinion is that it's only good bidiavad. It's only good secondarily. But his rabbi's opinion, his teacher's opinion, was that it's good even l'chatchila. How do I know that? Because I have a teaching. D'tanya teaches us in a braita. Rabbi Yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Yehuda taught in the name of his teacher, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So it's really Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion. Hakorei et shema tzarich sheyashmia leozno. A person who reads the Shema should say it loud enough that he can hear with his ears his own words. Shenemar, as it says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, Hashem our God, Hashem is one. Hishama leoznecha, make it be heard to your ears. Mashata motzi mipicha, what you say from your lips. Now, according to this, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah believes that lichatchila you should say Shema loud enough to hear it. But b'diavad, if you didn't, it's still okay. Rabbi Meir says, Asher anochi mitzavecha hayom alvavecha, that which I have commanded upon you today on your heart. Achar kavanat halev hein hadvarim. So he says it goes after the intention of the heart. Rabbi Meir basically says, you don't have to say the Shema out loud at all. It's all about where your heart is. So in this particular version, the only opinions are either you don't have to say it out loud at all, even l'chatchila, or l'chatchila you should say it out loud. We don't have the Rabbi Yossi opinion, which is that if you didn't say it out loud, lo yatza. This opinion that l'chatchila you have to say it out loud is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda's rabbi. Rabbi Yehuda holds himself, that even l'chatchila you don't have to. Is that correct? Believe that he holds it even l'chatchila you don't have to. Oh no, this is the case Rabbi Yehuda holds is that a deaf person can give truma even l'chatchila, and in the case of Birkat HaMazon, just like in the case of Shema, he is citing the opinion of his rabbi who says that only l'chatchila are you supposed to say it out loud, but b'diavad you do not have to. Okay, now we're just going to conclude. Hashta de'atit lahachi. Now, datit lahachi, that you've come this far, afilu tema Rabbi Yehuda ki rabbe sfirale. Let's say that Rabbi Yehuda holds the same as his teacher. V'ha detane Yehuda b'rei d'Rab Shimon ben Pazi, Rabbi Meirhi. And let's say that the teaching of Rabbi Yehuda that we said earlier, that a deaf person, lichatchila, can give truma, that is actually not the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. As we saw, Rabbi Meir says everything goes after kavanat halev, it goes after the feeling of your heart. So you don't actually have to be able to hear it. So a deaf person, therefore, since you don't have to hear it at all, would not have any problem fulfilling it, even l'chatchila. So any of those opinions that said that a deaf person, even l'chatchila, can be toreim, that is Rabbi Meir's opinion. And now we can say that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that l'chatchila you should say it loud enough so you can hear it both in benching and in Shema. But that b'diavad, if you didn't say it loud enough to hear it, you can still fulfill your obligation. We'll stop there for today. Have a wonderful day.